What a privilege to be back with you folks in this pulpit, God's pulpit, on this Christmas Sunday morning. We want to begin my part of the service by praying for our pastor and his family. It always thrills my heart over the years when I was out of the pulpit of my local church to hear part of my family to come to me and say, "Daddy, they prayed for you this morning. Daddy, they remembered us this morning." So we want to do the same for Brother Gene. Don't you think he's doing a marvelous job here? Let's give the Lord and him a hand. A marvelous job. I appreciate his personality. I appreciate his thoughtfulness. But more than that, I appreciate his faithfulness in the Lord's ministry. Next Sunday, if I'm still living, probably I'll be somewhere else preaching, I'll begin my 60th year as a Southern Baptist preacher and a God-called man. 60 years. Seemed like just yesterday I started. Brother Robinson, seemed like just yesterday I walked across the campus of North Greenville Junior College. Let's pray, Brother Gene and the Owensby family. May we pray. In the stillness and quietness, our Father, of this earthly moment, we come to pause and reflect upon your work, your ministry, and your excellent choosing of Gene Opperby to go into the ministry and to be pastor of this wonderful church. We pray for Brother Gene this morning that you would touch his body, that you would heal him from the virus that he may have in his family and his son and all of the kin people. And we pray, Lord, that as you heal those in scriptural times, that we believe today that you are still the author of divine healing and that you still can raise us up off the bed of affliction and bring us back to do your work, your will, and your way. Lord, we pray for this service this morning. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable, O God, in thy sight. For you're our strength, you're our Savior, you're our Lord, and you're our Redeemer. May what's said this morning be from your lips through this preacher's lips to your people here in the church. We thank you for this church. And we thank you for every member of this church. Hear our prayer, O God, for we pray it in your only begotten Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and we believe our soon coming King. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take two verses of Scripture this morning and read them to our ears and then try to proclamate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to take this morning the first Scripture in the book of Isaiah, very familiar Scripture, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. And when you have opened that, I want you to turn with me into the New Covenant, the New Testament, to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 and following. The most important word that's spoken in this service this morning, I believe, is the Word of God. It's infallible. It's inerrant, and it's the word that God penned through man that we as Christians could use as a guideline to become better Christians, and we as sinners could use as a guideline to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the Old Testament, it conceals what we find revealed in the New Testament. And we find in the New Testament the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 and following. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angels said to the shepherds, Fear not ye, for I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lowly humble clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as the angels were gone away unto heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but now, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, the city of David, and see this event which the Lord hath made known unto us. And I like this. And they came with haste. Haste. They didn't wait. They came with haste, excitement. And they found Mary. They found Joseph. And they found the babe lying in a manger. On this wonderful, beautiful Christmas following Sunday morning, aren't you excited and thrilled, but yet humble about who Jesus is? Aren't you just overjoyed to know that Jesus Christ came for each one of us? The other afternoon, I was sitting at Lee and Clay's house, and I had the children around me, and I was so excited. Leah looked at me and said, like her mother used to say about me, You look like a little boy with a sucker when you talk about Jesus. I said, the more I talk about him, the longer I live with him, and the more excited I'm looking forward to see him, thrills me. I know we have a lot of things in the world today that's boring, that's problematic, that claims our attention to take us away from who Jesus is. But let me read a scripture verse today to bring us up to date about him. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And have no fear, brothers and sisters and young people and children. He's going to be the same tomorrow. And all we have to do is follow him. Have faith, have trust, and get excited about him. Isaiah was 700 years earlier than Jesus when he was born. But Isaiah brought to us a message that we can't find in any other part of the Old Testament. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. For his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I heard a seminary professor years ago when I was a student label this verse of scripture the 5 points of a perfect star. And it is the 5 points of a perfect star, the star of God, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. The first point of the perfect star is He's wonderful. Do you know anybody that loves you and treats you the way He does on this earth other than Jesus Christ? Do you know anybody that cares for us so much that He was willing to give all that He had so that we might have life and have it more abundantly? Do you recognize Him as the one who is still the same and loves you the same and treats you the same and accepts you the same? And one day that wonderful person is going to come back again. Oh, yes, He is. I don't know when He's coming back. I hear a lot of prophetic preachers preach, and I hear a lot of the scriptures read about Him coming, and I believe with all my heart He's coming. He might come before I finish this sermon this morning, or He might come before this day is over, but I know He is coming, don't you? And you know who He's coming for? He's coming for the church. He's coming for the body of Christ. He's coming for this sinner saved by grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's who He's coming for. And He's so wonderful that He has my name written in the Lamb's book of life. And when He gets ready for me, He's going to open that Lamb's book of life, being so wonderful, shedding His blood for me, forgiving me, washing all my sins away. He's so wonderful that He's going to write my name down through His shed blood, the Bible calls me. And He's going to call my name. My mother's been in heaven about 15 years now, but a few months before she went, she used to say to me, "Son, son, He's going to call my number. And when He calls my number, I'm going." I said, Mom, He's not going to call your number. "Oh, yes." I said, "Well, what is your number?" "I don't know, but He's going to call it." "Mom, He's not going to call your number. He's going to call your name. Your name. He knows you so personally because of your redemption and your salvation. He's so wonderful. He knows your name." And I'll never forget that Sunday morning. I'd stayed there with her all night long in the nursing center, and we knew she was going to go any time. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning. She looked into my eyes the last time and held that weary 92-year-old hand on mine. And she said, "Son, He's coming." Now, I didn't see Him come in that room, but I think she did. "He's coming." And she laid that old white hair that I had put in there on her head all these many years. She laid that old white hair on that pillow. She closed her eyes and she left to go to glory. Wonderful that He loves us enough to know us by name, by heart, by action. But what about counselor? Counselor. You know, so many theologians separate those two words. But I heard somebody say they go together. Well, I believe they separated what I learned in Hebrew. And oh, that I studied that Hebrew so hard. My goodness, I thought I never would get out to seminary with a graduate in language degree with Hebrew. But I made it. I made it. Those two are different words. They have a different meaning. Counselor. You need a counselor? Call on Him. You need advice? Call on Him. You need direction? Call on Him. Don't go pay somebody $200,000 to get a counseling session for a year. And I'm told it's, and that's not costing that much, but it's costing a pretty good deal. Don't go to somebody and say, "Oh, I need your help. I need your advice." Take time. Get on your knees. in your own home or in your bedroom or here, come to the church. That's what this altar is made for, praying. Get on your knees and call on the counselor. Seek his face. Listen a while. Let him talk back to you. You ever heard Jesus talk back to you? You ever heard the still, small voice of God? You ever waited long enough so he can't talk back to you? He's the greatest counselor any of us can ever have. And the only thing we have to pay him is our time, our words, our motives, and call on him. Mighty God. Buddha's not the mighty God. Islam's not the mighty God. Who's the mighty God? Jesus Christ. The Father? Oh, that's God. But wait a minute. The Son? Oh, that's God in Jesus. The Holy Spirit? Oh, that's God in Jesus and the Holy Spirit that he left for us and moved in our heart and has taken up residence with us. And all we have to do is call on him, trust in him. We love little Miss Emma with all our heart. But I wish you could hear her pray and call on God. She prayed the Christmas dinner prayer at their house yesterday. And I was sitting by her and we hold hands around the table when we have our meals. Now, if I start having a little tear, you forgive me. But she had my hand and she grabbed it and she started praying and she said, God, my Father. Jesus, my Savior. Holy Spirit, my Spirit. And then she stopped. And I was wondering what she's going to say next. And she said, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Now that was the prettiest prayer that this guy has ever heard in a long, long time. And I know we have deacons can pray pretty prayers. And I know we have preachers that can pray pretty prayers. And I know you Sunday school teachers are teaching these children well. And you can pray pretty prayers. But when it comes to a child, doesn't the Bible say a child should lead them? When it comes to a child, and you remember where she has come from and where she is today, and you realize she didn't even know who Jesus was, and you hear him pray like that, I don't know about you, but it blesses my heart. It touches me because of the counselor, the one who hears us, the one who directs us, the one who blesses us. Church, keep on teaching children and young people and adults, because there's so many out there today that we need to take them to the counselor and let him help them. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Your Father may be gone on to heaven like mine is. But we have one who's not dead. When I was in the seminary, I had to write a thesis about God. Who is he? Where is he? What is he? I had to write one along with those lines about Jesus. And I wrote my thesis for my master's degree on who are the three in one? Who are the three in one? And I started off by giving a little simple illustration. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are exactly who they say they were. And I was corrected when I went in my first time to have my thesis intervened and corrected and spoken. And the old professor, and he was old. He was up in his 80s. And he was rough, too. He was a professor of Hebrew and archaeology. And I knew he's going to rake me over the coals. I'm just a simple guy, and he's so intellect. And he sat there and he looked across the table at me and he said, "Wayne?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "That's simple, if you understand it." I said, "Yes, sir." "And it's simple if you don't understand it, because it's not going to change the fact that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit's one." And then that professor shocked me. He shocked me. He said, "Son, I want to say something to you. From the time you get out of the seminary and the cemetery," and I left my tombstone up there, "by the time you get out, you preach that to be the divine truth and don't change." Friend, he's everlasting Father. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to take us and direct us. I heard an old preacher years ago. People said, "Oh, will God use me? Can God bless me?" I heard an old preacher say, "We're not holding on to God in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He's holding on to us. He's taking care of us. All we have to do is have faith." Faith. Mighty God, everlasting Father, and then Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Do you have peace this morning? Do you ever expect to have peace? Do you ever expect for the world to have peace? Well, it's not going to have peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Until the Prince of Peace ascends from heaven, sets up his throne, prepares it all for you and me. That's revealed in the Old Testament. Now, what took place in the New Testament? The angels met in heaven. The shepherds, the lowly common workers. You know, we South Carolinians, we used to have a road sign on the highways of our state that said, "Let them work, let them live." You remember that? Well, that wasn't started in South Carolina. That was started in the portals of heaven. Jesus looked over the balcony of heaven, and him and God and the Holy Spirit saw those working shepherds taking care of sheep. And I've heard people describe them as dumb sheep. I'm one of them dumb sheep. But those shepherds were taking care of the sheep. And every time a sheep would get astray, that shepherd would go and find him and bring him home. You know why Jesus came in this world, the Prince of Peace? You know why the angels in heaven sung rejoicing and were sharing with those lowly men and those lowly animals that Jesus was on the way and had come? Because heaven wanted everybody to know, from the lowly to the richest to the poorest to the dumbest to the smartest, everyone to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and Jesus Christ came for every one of us. The other morning I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning from Nairobi, South Africa. I done forgot about this little girl. I forgot that I even went back over the little town of Saluda, South Carolina. I married her and her husband. And I picked up the telephone, half asleep. And she said, "Preacher Wayne." That's what they used to call me when I was younger. "Preacher Wayne, you know who this is?" I said, "No, I don't remember." She says, "I'm Carla. You know, I'm in Nairobi, South Africa, me and my husband." And she said, "Preacher Wayne, we just wanted to celebrate Christmas with you and tell you that we are thinking about you and praying for you." I said, "Carla, how long have you been there?" She said, "We've been your Southern Baptist missionaries for over 30 years now in Nairobi." And she said, "We moved to several places, but we've come back to Nairobi, and we're still telling boys and girls, men and women, about Jesus." Oh, that thrilled my heart. That touches me. When you tell somebody And the Lord speaks to them, and they tell somebody else. They tell somebody, didn't it thrill your heart to know that you're going to see them all in glory one day? Those angels was telling the shepherds. Those angels got excited about telling the shepherds, and they went back to heaven. And then the shepherds, they looked at one another, and they weren't any more different than I am and you are. They were human. They looked at one another, and they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord God hath made known to us. Let's go see it. Let's go see him. Let's go witness him. And I wish I could get some Baptist to listen to this word right here. I've tried to do it for 60 years, and I fail a lot of times. But I wish I could get some Baptist to realize what the shepherds did at this moment. And they came with haste. They didn't have to call a committee meeting. They didn't have to get the approval of anybody in the church. They went to Bethlehem, and they wanted to see Jesus. And they came, and they fell down, and they worshiped him. He's still excited, friend. I tell you, I don't believe I'll ever get to the place in my life that I won't get excited about telling somebody about Jesus. I hope I don't. I met with a man beside a stop sign right there in front of my house the other day, and he is out walking his dogs. And I went over just to speak to him. And he looked at me and he said, I see on the back of your car a pastor sign. I said, yes, sir. You a preacher? I always tell people I'm trying to be. I'm ever coming to the knowledge of the truth and ever studying the word. And I'm trying to get better. I doubt if I ever get better, but I'm trying to. But I want to tell you about Jesus. And he said, you know, I'm glad you said that. Because I've never accepted him. I don't really know him personally. My wife goes to church, and my children and my grandchildren, but I don't have any interest in it. And I looked at him, I said, sir, you will have interest in him when you meet him. You will learn to follow him and go to the church house and be with your grandchildren and your children. You will when you have a personal relationship with Jesus. You want to know about him? Well, do you have time? I said, sir, I got all the time the rest of my life right here by this stop sign if you want me to talk to you. He said, let's talk. And I've made it a habit to have the little old New Testament in my pocket. I carry it with me everywhere I go. I said, let's sit down on this block over here. We went over there beside the road on the curb. If you'd have come by there that day, you'd thought we're crazy. We were sitting down on the curb like two little old boys just talking. Grown women in the 70s and 80s just talking. And I gave him the plan of salvation like shepherds found when they got to Jesus. I said, the Lord loves you, sir. I've been mean. I don't care how mean you've been. I don't care how much the devil you've been in. I don't care what you've done in your life. I want to tell you something, sir. The Lord loves you. God sent his son Jesus to forgive you, to save you. And, sir, all you have to do is ask him to come into your heart and ask him to forgive you your sins and ask him that you want repentance. And believe it. Believe it. Not with your mind alone, with your heart. Ask him to save you. And he will. We talked there about 35 minutes, I suppose. One of the other neighbors came out and said, is anything wrong? They thought we was hurt. They thought we'd done fallen or hurt ourselves and couldn't get up. And you know how they think when they see an old person sitting by the road, oh my goodness, he doesn't. He's done half dead. He's done never get up. But we were smiling, and the lady couldn't believe it. She said, you're smiling sitting on the side of the road? I said, yes, ma'am. We're smiling because We've been talking about Jesus, and we've asked Jesus to come into our hearts. He has, and I already have. And we've allowed him to come in and forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. And Sunday, that's the day, the man said, I'm going down to church with my wife and family, and they're going to drop dead when they see me walk in the door. I said, no, they're not. I know a church if you'll go to, if you don't want to go with your wife and family, you can go to one I'm going to, and they'll hug your neck. They won't drop dead. Friend, he loves us. He came for us. He gave his all for us. And we don't want to leave out this. He went to Calvary for us. I have a little illustration that I used years ago in my first sermon. Tonight, 60 years ago in my home church as a 15-year-old boy, I preached my first sermon. Now, some of those people got up and walked out. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They were just like you. They were so cordial. I preached my first sermon, and I had my first cousin come to know Jesus that night. I had an uncle to come to renew his Christian faith. Not because I was preaching, but because I was trying to deliver God's word. Listen to me this morning. If you don't get anything else out, I'm drawing it to a close. Listen to me. God loves you. Jesus cares for you. And the Holy Spirit wants to reside in you if you'll let him. I don't think I can make it any simpler. One of my professors looked at me after I graduated seminary, and he put his arms around me after I had walked out of the chapel there at Southeastern Seminary, Wake Forest, North Carolina. And he looked at me and he said, what type of preacher do you want to be? And I didn't even realize the man knew my name except calling the roll. And I said, Dr. Leo Green? I said, I think I can answer that. He said, well, answer it for me. I just want to be a humble, down-to-earth, loving, telling people about Jesus until the Lord calls me home. Now, to some people, that's not theologically minded. That's not educationally enough to talk the language. But to me, it satisfies my soul to know that I'm telling people about Jesus Christ and his righteousness, Jesus Christ and his love. And folks, this morning, I'm going to take you to one more verse of scripture that all of us know and we need to read and understand by faith more and more that we live. And it's simply the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world, you and me, that God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever, you know, that was the sweetest thing that ever happened to me at 7 years of age when I told the congregation that Sunday morning when I came to the knowledge of Jesus, I told the congregation at that early age, I said, that God so loved Wayne Lovett, that he gave Wayne Lovett his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ saved me and forgave me. Folks, that's the message for Christmas, for Easter, and for other time of the year. That's the message that you and I have to tell the world about him. That's the message today that we can leave this beautiful worship center as Christian people and others, if we are. And we can know that we know that we know that one day heaven's going to be our home. And it's real. The little boy was walking through the streets of New York. He was lost. They had just moved there. And a policeman walked up to him and said, son, I recognize and realize that maybe you're lost the way you're looking at things and wondering things. He said, yes, sir. My family just moved here, and I don't know where I'm at and don't know how to get back home. Do you recognize, son, anything around here that looks like maybe where you might be living? And the little boy looked at the policeman and he said, sir, right beside my apartment is a church. On top of the church is a steeple with a cross. If I can get to that cross, I can find my way home. The policeman said, I know where you live, son. I know where you live. Let's go. And he walked two blocks down and looked up. He said, the little boy said, before the policeman could say anything, there it is. There's where I live. I live right beside that building. That cross, I recognize it. Folks, I've tried to get you to the cross this morning. I tried to get you to the manger. I hope and pray I've tried to encourage you and let you know what it's all about in being a Christian. Now it's our time to sing the invitation. And if there's any decisions that we need to make between we and he, maybe you'd like to make them this morning. As the musicians come, as we stand to sing the invitation of him, will you come today? Will you come and accept this Jesus? Will you come and follow this Jesus? Will you come and listen to this Jesus as he loves you, as he wants to take care of you, and as he wants to for you to believe in him with a childlike faith? May we stand.